videos. This show is connecting the dots. What is really going on? I'm Anna Bangulin. I have my co-host, Ursula Lentini. Hi, Ursula. Welcome to
the
show.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. Just keeping the vibe, trying to keep the vibe high, working on that. It's like a little dance, I think.
Yes, it is. So, two steps forward, one step sideways, stand right there.
Mm-hmm. Hanging on by your fingertips on the ledge of the edge.
Yes.
All
yes.
That. It's
yes.
All that.
Yes. All
so, you
it.
Know, we're always, when you and I get on the air, we're always.
Hey. Oh, no, I lost you.
You lost? Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
But the perspective of, you know, what's going on in the world, not what's going on as in let's look out, let's watch the news and all of that, but we want to talk about the energy and the spirituality part of what is really going on out in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot. I mean, I just posted on my Facebook page, I have the Way of the Spiritual Path, a few series, and this particular, it's a talk, is called the Elevator Theory. And it's about what consciousness are we on at any given day. So my one spiritual teacher, you'd ask him a question, and he would always answer, that depends. And it was like, don't ask him any more questions because we know what the answer is already. But basically, that depends is what level of consciousness are you on to define what's going on? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, well, for instance, in the example, experiencing death, like if you lose somebody, it could be the most traumatic, horrible, you know, kill me too, I'm going to die, I can't live without this person too. Oh, my God, thank God, I get to go home. And it's
right.
Just whatever vibe we're on is how we're experiencing the world. So if we're in fear, then this
mm-hmm.
is a very, very scary place. It is a very scary place. If you're in trust, well, it's scary, but I feel confident. If you're in confusion and you don't know how to feel because your mind won't give you any clear answers and it's frustrating, well, that's what you're going to get. And like you're kind of indicating this morning, on any given day, anybody can move from fear to anxiety to I don't care anymore to, you know, the world's going to hell, we all need to run and hide to I'm so angry, you know, I need to fight for justice. Like, all of that could happen within an hour, really. Forget a whole day.
Right.
And you could knock on the door. You could go up and down the street you live on, an apartment complex or whatever, and, like, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel?
And you're going to get different answers.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. You know, that's the thing. There are a lot of people out there who are, they're walking for justice and they're fighting and not saying that that's right or wrong. It's just where you're putting the energy. One thing that I feel like is happening is that all of these things had to happen to create, again, a sort of a unified front, not on a, on a level of let's fight for justice, but on a level of an ask. Like I'm asking for peace. I'm asking for clarity. I'm asking for something bigger than what we are right now. I mean, putting that energy out into the world, and I believe that all of the what we would call chaos has created this overwhelmingly huge tribal ask. It's because the tribal mentality basically created the chaos, but that's been coming for years. I mean, before we were even on the planet, this in this body, in this incarnation, right?
Right.
It just gets deeper and deeper.
But it's our past incarnations that put us in this place in the first place.
And that's the it is kind of, it is humorous, and it's funny because it's like when you really get it, when you really understand the energy of it or the spirituality of it, you have to laugh because it's like, yeah, here we are. And this was the, this is exactly the time and the place that we are supposed to be in this now, in this present, and it's how we're looking at it, how we're perceiving it. So are we perceiving it as the fear, as the injustice, as the crime, or the, you know, we can look at the news and we can look, you know, read the papers and just get into conversation with people and really get that energy, or are we seeing that the world is transforming and this is how it has to transform, this is how it's shifting, this is how it's molding itself into something new, creating something new, bringing in this huge asking of peace and this huge asking of something that's different than what we've ever had. I can't say what we've ever had, but as far as we know, what we've ever had.
Yeah. In this incarnation.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really bring up a very nice point, because in the end of the day, right, after all of the chaos and the purposeful chaos, this is very purposeful and it's very timing, because mm-hmm. I'm able to now sit back and admire the craftsmanship of the dark side and how they're executing this master plan that they've had going. I'm like, oh, good job. Look at that timing. Oh, my goodness. Impeccable, really. You guys must have mm-hmm. thought long and hard about this next act. And I can just see how it's beautifully executed. So when you can know your enemy and admire and appreciate your enemy, I think that's like a good, you know, a good position to have.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, when you say that ask, when all of this is done, look, say, let's bring it down to like a macro, a micro version of the macro version. When a coupleship is going through a breakup and they're finally like, that's it, you know, they've had the knocked drag out fights, they've had the lawyers, they've had this, they've had that. And I can sit them down and say, okay, what do you want? And they're like, look, I don't care anymore. I just want peace. I don't care anymore. I just would I would really, really appreciate some respect. You know, so when all of this, and we're all exhausted and we've all been beaten to a pulp and we're in the FEMA camps and chips and like, and then we're having a little meeting in the dugout, you know, some hole in the ground that we've, the four people, like, you know, like a Twilight Zone, right? Like the last four people left on the planet. I think the conversations, you know, after the exhaustion and all of the lockdown and all of the nonsense, it would be this F that you're talking about. And what would be the most beautiful, most common denominator thing that all people really, really, truly want? They don't care what they'd have to give up if they could just have like these five things or these three things. I really like your question about that ask. That's like you just took this whole five-year story and turned it into one question.
Yeah, because that's what we're doing. We don't understand. As the people on this planet, the majority of them don't understand why they're being shifted into this place of peace, right? Into this place of expectation. But that what they're doing energetically is they're sending out a message. They're sending out something that says we want peace. You know, maybe we want some clarity on the situation. Maybe we want, you know, we want love. We want to be able to look at each other and just see this lovely, energetic being. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how tall or how short you are. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. It doesn't matter where you're from. It just matters that we see each other. And, you know, you talk about that as a deeper, energetic way of being. It just feels like that that's happening, and that asking is turning into something else. And so what's going to be interesting is, now what happens? Now what are we going to, what's going to come out of this scenario and the situation? So I guess that's kind of what I wanted to address. Like, spiritually, what can people do to, you know, what, because we say, you know, don't watch the news, don't read the papers, don't dive into, you know, I'm not on social media a lot because I just don't want to see the feeds. I don't want to buy into the stuff that's going on. So, yeah, you know, there's this whole spiritual component to that that a lot of people don't see, and I think that's what I would like us to bring to light. Like, what is the spiritual component of what's happening
all
in the
of
world?
This. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So the essence of metaphysics, which I'm a metaphysician, that's what I'm a minister with, Centers for Spiritual Living. The premise for your listeners are, an angry man lives in an angry world, and a peaceful man lives in a peaceful world, and they're right next door neighbors. So it's how we perceive the world is how we experience it in all cases. So when this world is falling apart or inconsistent or things keep changing and we're always having to adapt and it's stressful because we're losing our sense of control, we're losing our references, we're losing income, we're losing our job status, all of these things. And so what's happening is the ego is being peeled away. And why sometimes people will go so busy into this distraction mode, like, oh, got to get the kids to the soccer game, I got to do this, I got to do it, because it's hard for that kind of person to sit down and actually let their feelings bubble up and feel them. So we are having a forced personal healing by having all the distractions taken away from us. And now we are put into the house with our family, the people who are supposed to be our best, closest, most loving people. If there's conflict within the family that everybody's been avoiding, you can't avoid it anymore.
Right.
So things probably have blown up, and then everyone will get back together and be like, okay, we got to sort things out now because, you know, we can't live like this. So now they're coming to different agreements, different terms. Maybe they're listening to each other a little bit closer so they don't have to have an argument or a fight or a three-day standoff or cell phones being taken away or, you know. So people are like, look, can we negotiate so we don't have to have all this stress? So we're moving from an outside stimulation that's being taken away, and now we're having an inner, in-the-house stimulation and forced communication, forced slowing down, forced connecting. And then after that, the next layer is that inner work of getting to know ourselves a little bit more when everything else has been taken away, dealing with our anxiety or our fear, our worry, eating disorders, being full focused, addictions being flared up, loneliness, all these things that are coming up right now. Why? Because they're already inside of us, and we've been pushing them down, pushing them down, pushing them down.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, our animal nature's coming out, and we're having to manage it in ways that we haven't had before. So now people are really either struggling with themselves or learning to know who they are. And when we can start unpacking all of that internal, the voices in our head being mean, the ones that are baseball bat, hypercritical, not good enough, all of these, get them out. Journaling is very important, doing art, music, dancing, you know, moving that kind of energy. And eventually, as the world outside gets more chaotic, it's going to force us, again, to go more inside because it's hard to fight the whole wide world. So they're just like, you know, me against the world, or I can get with a small group and maybe we can make a change, or let me just go inside because I don't know where else to go. And then deeper inside, behind all of those feelings and emotions and thought patterns, is the stillness. And I say all the time, you know, when you're one cheek is against the gravel and there's a boot on your other cheek and there's blood dripping down your face, you finally like, okay, I surrender, I quit. And then that's saying, okay, there's something greater than me beating my heart and breathing my lungs. Let me take a look at that for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, as you and I know, because that's how we live, is that sweet, silent, calm, solid, spiritual place that we can go and just connect with our heartbeat, connect with our breath, and slow everything down and become nothing, become nobody, and just exist. And in that moment, everything opens up. It's like going through a little portal or going through the skinny part of a timer, like the sand time, where they do the sand and you 3 minutes and you click it over.
Yeah, the hourglass.
Yeah, the hourglass. So it's
hourglass.
When we go into that tiny, tiny spot, we slip through the bottom of the hourglass, and now a whole nother world can open up. Where
right.
It doesn't matter if you're, you know, old or poor or, you know, lonely, or it doesn't, like, nothing matters. No definition that you could construct of how important you used to be but you're not now, or how
mm-hmm.
everything is. No, like, nothing matters in that moment of that stillness, of that connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when we can start looking back and saying, well, if it doesn't matter in this moment, why should I make it matter when it only stresses me out anyway? So you just let go, you let go, you let go, you let go. Like a thief comes and tries to grab your purse or your wallet, let go. You know what? I'm not going to have stress with you. Take this. I like my peace.
Yeah.
So it's almost like some people are saying, you know what, I'm not even going to pay attention to that stuff. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, I'm just going to roll over and hope for the best. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't just, like, poop out on it. Like, we need all hands on deck. We need all hands on deck in the inner world. So
mm-hmm.
There's, like, the codependent versus the non-codependent. So they look the same, but it's with what vibration are they doing it in. So when I say go inside, I don't mean go inside and shut down and like, disconnect. Go inside and rev up and become
mm-hmm.
one with that stillness
mm-hmm.
and know that, okay, Anna's doing her prayers and meditation. I got my friend over there. I got this community over here. Like, let's all raise the vibration, because within
mm-hmm.
an individual, if I'm entertaining fear, I can't be fully happy. So it's easier for me to let go of that fear so I can move into full happiness, so I can actually enjoy the day that I have. It's that kind of concept. So if we keep raising the vibration higher and higher and higher, all this negativity can't really penetrate our mind and our soul and our spirit.
Yeah. And that's what creates that shift. So when you're allowing that goodness, you know, it's, you know, slow down to speed up. I keep saying that, slow down to speed up. So you go within, you allow that goodness, that opposite of the fear, the false evidence appearing real, you allow that and you see that in your heart. To me, that's the most powerful way to hold space, not only for yourself, but the world itself, because it is. You open yourself up to, you know, infinite possibility. And that's why I keep saying that when we as a unit, as a world, they may not know what they're asking for. You know, yeah, they might say, well, we want peace, we want justice, whatever. But what they're asking for is this peacefulness of going within. And, you know, we want every person, which wouldn't it be a wonderful world if every person did do this, but, you know, everybody's on their own different, I don't want to say level, but they're at their own pace and at their own time. But what if every single person did go within and allow that peace and allow that clarity in their hearts? What a shift that would happen in the world, because that's where it has to happen. I mean, we can say, You know, I've seen a few things where people, you know, we need to let go of the racial divide. We need to let, you know, and that's something that's been going on, you know, especially here in the South. You know, you'll hear them say, you know, it's been a black and white thing for forever. So that letting go of that doesn't happen by people holding up signs and marching, even though, yes, they're doing it in peaceful protests, but it's, you have to go within and make peace in your heart with that. You know, if you're someone who has a sense of, you know, I feel like if you're listening to this show, you know, you're doing that, you're in the process, you're either doing it or you're in the process of doing it. But, you know, the folks out there, it's like, how can we show them that it has to be the inside job? You know, how can we show them that speaking about getting rid of this thing, whatever this thing is, has to come from the inside, because it's a program. That's a program that's been handed down from generation to generation. So how do we, I mean, I know if you can get a group of people in a room or on a call that we can help make that shift. And how do we, you know, part of me is like, you know, how do we do this on a massive scale, you know, except by being an example. I mean, that's,
yeah, it is. It's one by one. It's everybody doing their personal work, because we're being forced to. If you look at the situation, right? So I can say, hey, look, at darkness is running the show right now. And then I'm like, well, don't worry, because lightness is using darkness to get lightness's work done.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so Kali is in the Hindu tradition. And she is the goddess of destruction. Like, she'll come in and she'll raise all hell just to get some work done. And everybody's afraid of her, as they should be. She's like an angry mom in my mind, right? Because when your mom gets mad, you know you've been warned. You know you're in
you're
the
in
wrong.
Trouble.
You are in the, like, if mom gets mad, forget it. Everything's like, shut down. So in a way, Mother Nature has gotten mad, and she was the first one. I sent you hurricanes, I sent you floods, I sent you fires, you know, earthquakes. Like, what do you want from me? You know, like, okay, fine, here. So I think somehow she had a hand in this part, because if you look how quickly she responded, right, everything's back, like, less pollution, the animals are coming out, the, you know, it's beautiful. This planet is so beautiful now. We're allowing it to be beautiful, not messing it up. So she's my example. She went through lots of crisis and recovered, and is still recovering from some of the areas that were been devastated. But look, she's shining now, and we can follow her suit. So when we do this individually, I'm telling people, go outside. Nature is there. Nature is there to teach you. You can go for a walk. You can sit under a tree. You can take a nap in the grass, and something's going to happen to you. And the more time you spend in nature, the more she will teach you, because it's a silent education. There's just something about nature that will always calm us down, always balance us out, always give us energy if we're exhausted. So go outside in nature, because nature is our natural way. And when we're in nature, everybody's more polite. I remember I took a walk the other, I don't know, a few months ago, before COVID, of course, and I was on a trail up in the Appalachians, and I saw a family, because I'm very observant. And there was a mom and a dad and, like, a teenage son and another, like, smaller child. And the teenage son was like, had the grumpiest look on his face. He's like, rah, 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 rah. And I said, oh, man, I feel him. I feel him. I hate going with the family and having to do stupid thing or that. And then I passed them later on the trail after they had gone to the waterfall, and the kid was smiling and the, you know, sibling was laughing. And I was like, look at that. Look at nature won again. And so I think how you're asking, how can we correct this? Do it individually. If you don't know how, just go outside. Spend tons and tons and tons of time outside. Start correcting everything wrong inside of us. Like, this is a perfect opportunity to do a checklist, like, where do I suck? What areas of my life do I suck? and then going through and saying, you know what, I can do better. I can do mm-hmm. better. Because I look at mm-hmm. the world today and I'm like, we can do better. We can do better than this. This is nonsense. Mm-hmm. We can do better. And I think what we've done, a huge part of the mistake of why we have put ourselves in this situation is taking responsibility. Like, how did I contribute to making this mess right now? Because if I sit there and point my finger, nothing's going to get done. But, like, there was a little kid, I don't know how old he was, the city got all damaged from the riots, and he picked up a broom and he started cleaning the sidewalk. I don't know if you saw this story. And he was there all night long. And somebody asked him, like, why are you cleaning up? And he's like, because I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow and they can't walk through all of this garbage.
Right.
And then the whole town was like, really, this kid's amazing. I'm going to give him a car. I'm going to give him college tuition. I'm going to give him this. I'm going to give him that. Because he showed up and he did the right thing. He took responsibility. And that's what I'm talking about, the sense of responsibility. Like, how did I contribute to get him here? There's a lot of background noise. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
It's like a whooshing. Whooshing noise.
Did it just start?
Yeah, it stopped.
It stopped already. Okay. No, I don't know.
Okay.
I
don't know. I think it might be between the line.
Could
not
be.
You know, not at your house, not at my house.
It's the universe's way of saying yes.
So when we stop and take responsibility and say, how did I contribute to this chaos that we're in? One of them is the complacency. Other people can decide on my behalf. I don't care. You know, when we do mm-hmm. the terms and conditions, when we want a new app, it's like, can we go in and change and rearrange your emails and do whatever we want? And we're like, sure. So we just click away and sign off on everything. Like, you know, oh, you can set my rates for my credit card. You can do this. You can do that. So we've given, because of our laziness, we've given all of mm-hmm. these responsibilities away. And then the people who are taking the responsibilities have turned it into self-interest. So when we give our responsibility away, we have to take it back by going
yeah.
through an inventory and saying, what have I done? You know, what can I do
mm-hmm.
to correct myself? How can I be a better person? How can I be more kind to others? How can I be more kind to myself? You know, what do I need to change in order to make this world a better place? And when we each can
mm-hmm.
step up and become our best self, we are actually changing a vibration that's affecting the whole planet, because that butterfly theory, you know, when the butterfly flaps its wings, the energy goes somewhere. And it continues to move out. So when people pray, people have been praying for thousands of years. Why would we pray for thousands of years if it didn't actually work? So prayer, go ahead, give it a try. You know, if you don't, go outside, start praying. And people who belong to different religions, all religions should pray now, because we're going to be praying
mm-hmm.
for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. Harmony, you know, safety, being heard, cooperation, collaboration. So I think this is a great spiritual awakening. It's done in a very unusual way, but many people's spiritual awakenings personally are very interesting stories. They get in a car accident, you know, their whole world falls apart. They go through divorce and loss and bankruptcy, and all of a sudden they found God, or, you know, they become self-actualized, or they realize, like, all this stuff is a bunch of baloney. Like, you know, all this pressure to make all the money and get the beautiful wife, and, like, it's all crap. It's all made up stuff. It's not real. It's not timeless. It doesn't contribute to our eternal existence.
And when we understand that, again, I'll go back to it's programming, because that's what we were told. This is what you're supposed to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
we were told to go to school, be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or marry one. I mean, those are your options. This is how you're supposed to grow up. You're supposed to buy a house, get married, have 2.5 kids, and, you know, be with a company until you retire. And, you know, all of these things that it looked like that's what everybody was doing. And then there's some of us who didn't do that path. Some of us, you know, for various reasons, changed the path, which led to another thing and another thing and another thing. And I mean, I have friends who did do the path, and then they'll say something like, you know, they don't really, yes, I'm going to be doing this until I die, even though it's not, you know, what I really want to do. And that was my thing. It's like, why are you doing it if it doesn't make you happy? And it's like, well, it's because it affords me a particular home or a particular car, you know. And what I'm finding now with my journey, and again, I listened to something, and it was talking about how we're all explorers. And so that's the perspective that I'm taking now, is that I'm an explorer. But you're absolutely right. There could be a disruption of some sort, a trauma of some sort that happens that changes your path in a great way. And I feel like that's something that certainly happened to me. And I've been on this like really interesting journey and have felt like I've been carried along the way in a way that had I not had faith and trust in the universe, well, you know, I'm human. So every once in a while I'm like going, okay, here's my reality check. Ooh, that's not happening right now. Okay. So I'm going to go back to, you know, this faith, being able to see, you know, 2 feet in front of me. I can't even see down the road, but I can see, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit down the road, but I'm going to be okay and trust that I'm going to get down the road. So what I found in my like extreme journey this last probably year and a half since January of 2019 has been very interesting, because I've been able to do some really amazing things. And not in the usual way. And the way I'm putting that is because I wasn't working. I, you know, just by sheer conversation or, I mean, there was some planning on some of it, but a lot of it was, hey, let's go do this spontaneous, whatever. Like you get on and you meet, I've met some amazing people and I've had great conversations and, you know, been able to really get to know people, and you talk about people's spiritual awakening. Everybody's is different, and that's the really cool part. Like you'll meet someone. I met someone who was, you know, as she put it, I was a raging alcoholic. I lived in the city. I was a raging alcoholic. And this is somebody I met in like out west, out in Nevada, New Mexico. I can't remember. And we're having these conversations, and it was like I lived in a big city and knew that if I stayed in that city, at some point I was probably going to die. So I took myself out of the city. I moved myself to a place where I think she had her sister and the support of her family, and she cleaned herself up. And now she is, she volunteers to help people who have addiction issues like she had. She loves her job, you know. So that's a spiritual awakening. That's someone who understood this journey that she was on, or is she still on a journey? It's just now she's taken what was happening in her life and turned it into something to benefit not only herself, but other people. And I think that's what we do. We have, I mean, I'm sure you could tell stories. I could tell stories and how we shift, but that's how we relate to each other as well. It's like, things in this world are, you know, we go through similar things. They're all unique, but some of them are similar. So we can use those experiences to help not only just uplift ourselves, but uplift other people, because we're always constantly on a journey. You know, what I was listening to was we're all explorers, so we're constantly exploring. And like you said, if you look at the dark side and see that the light is using the dark side to actually do its work, that's, to me, that's amazing, you know, because you have, that's an aha, like, wow. Because once you shed the light on the dark, guess what? It's in the light, you know, so.
Exactly. You can run, you can hide, but you're done. Like as soon as, if you have a pitch black room and the door cracks open and you have one little stream of light, the darkness, everything is looking at that light. You can't not look at that light in that dark room. That all the darkness looking at that light going, oh, the game's up. The light came in now, you know, like it's over. The light is in.
Yeah.
And back to that explorer, it's to go from that outside, like I was explaining, you know, the outside world with all of the distractions, now inside the house with the family members, and then inside yourself with all your emotions and all your parts, and then inside to that one stillness. And it through that little hourglass portal into this other reality, what happens in that place is the clarity. And you mentioned it earlier, the clarity. And with clarity comes peace. Like, oh, now I got it. And it's not like, you know, you're going to get everything, because where would the exploration, where would the adventure be if you just got everything in 1 minute? Like, that's too boring, right? So we just get like, oh, I get it, oh, I get it, oh, I get it, oh, I get it. And the more still we become, the more clear we become. So it's taming the ego and taming the emotions to say, hold on, I'm working on something here. I don't know what it is, and I just have to sit quiet. And that's it. So with that clarity and that sense of peace, we also have an understanding that I'm not alone in this. I was alone in my identity and my illusion and my storyline and who I thought I was. But if this is true for me, this quiet stillness, this beautiful connection, this place that I don't care about anything right now, I have no attachment that's going to upset me from disturb me from this peace, then I bet you everybody has this inside of them too. Now there's an interconnection in that one space that you think you're the only one in the whole wide world. No, you're like, oh, this is everybody, but we never get here on a regular basis. Then we move out to say, hey, mom and dad, hey, sister, brother, hey, husband, wife, hey, everybody, you know, there's something really cool. Like, come sit with me. Come relax with me. Come think about this thing with me. And then we feel motivated to share. And then we can go out into the world and say, no, we're not listening to you bad guys anymore. Like all the reasonable people, come on, let's start writing some papers. Let's start making some new agreements. I have this whole movement that I'm doing called the New Agreement. Looking at the old agreements, identifying, nope, this is not going to work here. Let's do something else. Gathering and communicating, like, what's a better agreement? What's a better way that we can do this? And coming up with new innovation ideas, like you're saying, explore, and do that together, because we can't really do it by ourselves, and then create a new agreement. A heaven on earth is what I'm calling it, because I already live in heaven on earth. Like, I really do. Mm-hmm. My life is wonderful. Even when there's a challenge, I'm still living on heaven on earth, because this challenge is a learning opportunity and something good's going to come out of it. So when we can start understanding that we were given this wonderful gift called life, and we're here now in this time period, 2020, I look at the 1960s and I'm like, wow, what a radical time. All these young people, like, you know, they made stuff happen and they grew their hair long and wow, we, you know, and I'm like, whew. That was just a starter version. Like, where are we now? Like, thank God for those 1960 people. Otherwise, this would be too new. And we have to get radical. We're not going to do it out of anger, because we know that that doesn't work. And we also know that the darkness is expecting us to do it, be angry or fearful.
Sure. When the anger and the fear, when that comes out, it just perpetuates itself. And I think that's what people are understanding. And that's why, you know, when all of the looting and all of the crazy stuff started happening, everybody was like, wait a second. But they're also identifying the fact that this isn't everybody. Not everybody went into that. Some people jumped in with the group and started getting crazy, but a lot of people didn't. They actually got away from the group. So it's interesting to watch that, how people want that peace. They really, really want that. So they're going to step away from the chaos. And the chaos, the chaos was, from the outside looking in, it was created. It was manufactured. I'm going to put it that way. It was totally planned, because it was not random. The way you can tell that is it literally every state where the looting was, it was a pattern, the same thing. They were doing the same things. Now, the looting and the taking and all that, they just let them kind of go crazy on it, but how they did it was systematic. And so you know that there was something bigger to create more chaos out into the world. What I appreciate about all that is that a lot of people stepped away from it, and because they want the peace so much that they are not going to partake in whatever was going on. And I wanted to say something, too, about you were talking about the 1960s. And think about all the things that we didn't even know about, even previously from the 1960s, and the struggles and things that people had to work through. As you've noticed, they've gotten even more expansive. They've gotten bigger. And so as we start, as we expand and grow as human beings on this planet, things are always going to expand and grow. That's the nature of who we are. So one of the things that I've been studying is something with neuroscience and how when we can clear unconscious blocks and resistance and put in good and new beliefs, it's not like we're wiping anybody's memory, but it's actually taking out any blocks and resistance to the programs that, and we're basically letting go of old programs, and we're putting in good memories, positive memories, love, and things like that. So there's a way to do that now with neuroscience, and I'm so excited because I'm like, this was sort of what was missing with law of attraction, because a lot of, you know, we talk about law of attraction all the time, and I'll come back around to the story with this, but what I'm seeing is this was the missing piece, because people, you know, I'm all about law of attraction. I love it. I've seen it work in my life. And then there's sometimes it's like, whoa, what just happened? Because sometimes the foundation gets pulled out from under us, or a situation happens. And like you said, things happen in life, but it's how you handle it. So what if you could remove blocks and resistance to possible reactions that you may have based on an unconscious block out of your system and put in something new? So maybe, and this is what I keep thinking about.
But Anna, that's what I do for a living. That's exactly what I do.
Right, right. So, but see, my thing is, like, how can we do this on a bigger scale? You know, that's the thing that I'm working on. It's like, how do we do this on a bigger scale? And so, you know, and coming back around, but what I'm noticing, and this is, again, back to the story of, you know, people peacefully protesting and then the looters and stuff, what I'm noticing is that instead of jumping into the chaos, which a lot of people, you know, once things get crazy, a lot of times the tribe will go into the chaos, you know. What I noticed when I did watch it was a lot of people were like, you know, let's back off. Let's move away from the chaos, and which I love. You know, I have to say I appreciated seeing, because that means that more and more people are just tired of the chaos. More and more people are tired of this. Even though it's structured, they're just they're like, no, we're not doing that anymore. You know, we're not doing that anymore. We want to do something different. And so, yes, that's definitely, you're doing this work, I'm doing this work, and we're doing it, you know, we're doing it the way we do it. And I see out there, it's like, if we could just reach those people and say, yes, there is, there's a different way. There's a different way of being in this world. And some people back away from, you know, they were in a place of fear. Like, they lived downtown. They were in the middle of it, and now they're scared, and they want to go somewhere so they find their peace. You know, so, yes, they are going to go out into nature. They're going to go do those things. But how can we embrace that person or those people and say, you know, I understand you went through this, and, you know, there's a process that can help you remove. Now you've got a trauma or a belief about, you know, whatever that programming is now, you've got that in your unconscious mind. So it's time to let that go. I think that's the thing that I really want to bring up, because I think that's, now that's the bigness of the work. And so, I mean, I know you're out there, those that, and let's put your information out there now, because you are doing, you've got lots of stuff on your Facebook page on, your Facebook page. So if you, we can give them your website, but also, most of it is on your Facebook. Do you have a link from your website to your Facebook page?
I, I don't know. I'm not a very good tech person, so probably not.
Okay.
I need help.
Yes. Let me just.
But you know what? They're all the same. They're all the same. My YouTube, my email, my Facebook. Like, it's just my first and last name is all the same. Ursula Lentini.
So and it's URSULA, last name LENTINE. So if you Google Ursula, let's just say that, and get on her Facebook page, and not her page. She has two pages, so it's her page that's got, it's going to have a lot of information on there, a lot of videos on there, and she talks about all, you know, you're breaking it down. I know I'm in that new agreement. I've been in there a couple of times, but I have, like I said, I haven't been on social media in the past couple of days, so I'm out of the loop for a second. But,
me too.
Yeah,
and you have
people,
to. You have to. You have to back out, you know, and just get back real again, center, and then dive back in, because some of the information is mind-blowing. You know, the structures, the constructs that I've been living under is like, no. And just having to accept that people are different than how they present themselves, you know, and it's just such a shame because most people are trustworthy. Most people are trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're trustworthy, we look out into the world, and that's what we see. Everybody's trustworthy. It's so natural to be trustworthy. So when these people who are not trustworthy, who are in positions of being trustworthy, that's very, and you know, is you get very disappointed in certain situations. But that's okay. But what I do is, for your listeners, is I do specifically subconscious work. So when people come to me is because they're stressed out, they're stuck, they don't know, they can't get their self-esteem in order. And basically what's happened is there's so many anchors in the past holding them down, you know, speaking negatively in their mind to themselves, and they just don't know how to, they try, they willpower, they force, they punish, and none of that works. They're in a place of willingness and curiosity. So what we do is we go inside the subconscious and deprogram all these conditions and belief systems and things that we've been taught, traumas that we've lived through, and free up a bunch of energy so that person can, like you said, replace it with positive. And they get to choose. I want to feel love. I want to feel peace. I want to feel connection. I want to feel empowerment. And that actually floods their system. And they wake up the next day and they're a new person. They're like, I feel so much lighter. I feel like I lost 20 pounds. I slept better than I slept in years. You know, I actually called this family member that I've been avoiding, or, you know, things change and shift. But I do have a new program. It's a group program because the need is so much higher now. And it's called Going from Overwhelmed to Confident. And that's the inside work. So we'll be cultivating that in a group format. So I'll be announcing that, you know, soon enough. It'll be July 16th that we're launching that.
Well, very nice. Very nice. So, yeah, check out Ursula's information and her videos and things that she is she's talking about. So and you break it down nicely. I mean, you've broken it down nicely, and you really help people understand what's going on, and you come from it from different perspectives, which I love that, because everybody has their own perspective. And for us, and that's why a lot of times, and I've realized too, like, unless I put myself in someone's shoes for a moment, I really, sometimes I can't understand. And I don't know if that's because as I get older, I just basically, I can sense the energy and I feel like I just don't want to connect. You know, it's like, okay, try to understand just for a moment. But I noticed that. I mean, I'll have a conversation with someone. I realize I really just don't want to be in the room with this person. Like, I don't, like, the energy is so, I don't want to say it's off, but it just doesn't feel good to me. And so instead of like trying to stay in that space and connect with that person, I'm like, no, I'm going to back out. I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm going to go do something else. And actually I was just thinking about that this morning. You know, you call me, you go, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. But what I realized in the past week, I've had conversations with people that I haven't connected with in a while. And now I know why I haven't connected with them.
Right. Well, you know, we're also operating at a very smaller capacity than we used to have because this whole change stuff is stressful.
Be in the same
even
state.
With people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when people have a baby or get married or go on a trip, you know, those are exciting things. Yeah. Measure the stress level. Okay.
They're still stressful.
They're still stressful.
Yeah.
So change equals stress. Stress equals change. They're pretty much companions all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this change that we're going through that's affecting us on an individual level, community, group, travel, like the whole world, I can't even imagine countries that I don't even know where they are in the map are also struggling with the same exact issues that I'm struggling with because we're being sequestered. It's very interesting
mm-hmm.
because there's a unification. Like this is a homogenizing of the American, of the human condition. So all
mm-hmm.
of our basic stuff is coming up. Like I need food, I need shelter, I need
yes.
love, I need to be heard, I need a sense of belonging. So we're
mm-hmm.
narrowing it down to our needs, but also our capacity to tolerate, quote unquote, is smaller.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's why
that's
we're
it.
Being very selective of who we spend time with and how we spend
that's
time.
That's it. You know, you say that, and that's so weird because in the past I would say, you know, I want to be open. I want to be able to connect. And it's like, no, it's a good shutdown. Like, no,
don't
want to be in the space with that person. And it's so odd. Like maybe it's because I'm getting older. But maybe just it's your energy immediately already knows, your energetic connection
mm-hmm.
already knows, no, this is not
mm-hmm.
for you. So
mm-hmm.
I've been pretty appreciative of having that sense, you know, that what is it, spidey sense, whatever that is. And maybe that's the thing as I've been working on that energetic part of me as well, is just being
mm-hmm.
Open to being more connected to people, or the sensing, yes, I don't need to be connected with this person. I'm going to disconnect. I mean, we're all connected at some point. And yes,
we are, but
energy,
you're also getting more connected with yourself and being
yes.
in a place of good energy with yourself. And if someone's coming
yes.
into your space and they're trying to disturb that, you know, it's an energetic boundary that you're telling me you're setting
mm-hmm.
because of the tolerance level. It's not necessarily just getting old. We're in a particular time frame right now that is very unique.
Right.
And old
yeah.
people, because I love hanging out with older people because they got it down. They
mm-hmm.
got everything figured out. They got a simple life. They're easy. Like, just sit me on the floor, on the chair, in my, you know, rocking chair or whatever. You know, like, give me a cup of coffee. Like, I'm good. I am completely happy because they simplified their life. Again, because
yeah.
their capacity is much smaller. They don't have the energy. They don't want to fuss. You know, they just want peace.
Yeah.
They just want, you know, comfort.
Yep. I get it. It doesn't need to be. And I realize they're, you know, from the time probably right when I really first met you, there was so, like, I could probably say I was a workaholic. And I came in, now I'm in this motion of pretty self-empowerment and self-discovery. And that's been amazing the past couple of years just to be able to have that. It hasn't felt fantastic, like constantly 100% of the time. And allowing that, you know, allowing and taking a look at that darkness that comes up within you. And like you said, because of doing that shadow work or that dark side, shedding light on that has been really interesting, really appreciating that part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a part of every single human on this planet. And I
yes.
think that is that's the bigness, is not stuffing that down, but definitely
right.
opening ourselves up to looking at that and exploring that and saying, you know, not asking necessarily why, but shedding some light on it and really paying attention to it. And a lot of it is like the work that we're doing with the unconscious mind is pulling that, in a way, kind of pulling the darkness up and out. And,
yes.
you know, again, that's once you're doing your sessions or I'm doing the stuff that I'm doing, it doesn't stop when, you know, the person leaves the session. This stuff will continue to work. And that's why there's
yep.
like your folks will continually want that support from you because you understand what's, I mean, even if they don't, they're like, whoa, what's happening to me now? And you can really fully understand and explain to them how to integrate all these new things that are coming up and how to
mm-hmm.
how to really, you know, pull in that goodness, pull in that peace, pull in that love. And I think it's so important that people have that support, because it's like that now, you know, because now it's like if you don't, it's again back to the chaos. What do I do with
yeah.
this?
What, right.
How am I supposed to be? Because this is
yeah.
so unfamiliar to me. And I think
yeah.
that's a big one too, is the newness that we feel and the things that are happening to us. And when I say us, because it's, I know it's happening to you too, because you're expanding and growing. I'm expanding and growing. Every
For
single
sure.
human on this planet is. So it's how we are, how we're being in that expansion makes all the difference in the world, you know? And I think when you really start to explore that inside, when the stuff starts coming up and you're looking at it, you're not afraid of it. More, it's more like a annoying fly that buzzes around you, right? Like,
right,
get away from
right,
me.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right. Oh,
get
I got to deal
me.
With this
yeah.
thing now. Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. So,
yeah,
and
but
I think
even,
that's
even
gotta,
though, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that just the past couple of conversations I've had this week, and it felt like that, like a little gnat or something. It's like, okay, I choose not. And then I want to explore, like, why is it really, why did the conversation, like, irritate me? You know, like, why did it, you know, it didn't get under my skin, but it just, it didn't feel like it flowed very well. So those are the things that I look at. It's like, why didn't it flow well? What's going on there? What's the, you know, like, look at the energy, but go ahead.
At this point, right, because the spiritual path work, I've done it for years and years and years and years, and some people are just landing on the path now. But when you were
mm-hmm.
saying to the point, you were saying it never really ends. No, I have it programmed in my life to address issues as they come. You know, I have a mastermind group. I trade the subconscious work with a colleague. Like, I have self-care as a part of my foundation of
mm-hmm.
the way I live my life. Because it's that
mm-hmm.
important. Yeah.
And it's a constant. It's not like we do this once and then, oh, we're done with it.
Mm-mm.
I meditated
mm-mm.
once. It's good. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that
no,
way.
It's like taking
yeah,
a
it's,
shower,
it's not,
brushing our teeth. Like, you have to do
yeah.
it regularly.
Yeah. I did it in 1972. I think I'm good, you know.
yeah.
Oh, it was funny. I was real quick just hanging out with a friend, and we were sitting out on a dock on a lake, and that's her thing. Like, she's like, yeah, I keep shampoo and conditioner down here in case I feel like I want to bathe. I just dump in the lake. And I was like, okay, maybe you should hook up a shower on your dock so you can really rinse off once you get out. But I thought it was funny. It's like, yeah, this is my weekly bath right in the lake.
Wow.
It was our running joke. It was our running joke, but yeah, it was funny. I was thinking, yeah, the kids would love that if that's the only shower or the only bath that they could take was in a lake, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, you force them to, it's like, well, while you're in there, here's the shampoo and conditioner and wash your hair.
Right.
Here's a bar of soap, right? Anyway. But yeah, it's constant. It really is constant. I do this map work, make anything possible. I've been privy to your sessions, which are fantastic. Brought up a bunch of stuff from my childhood that I was like, wow, that came up. That's weird. You know? So again, unconscious stuff in our minds, that, you know, it's not that we're not getting rid of it. We're just shedding light on it. And I think that's the important part. So I do want to tell folks, you know, if you want to connect, you know, go to UrsulaLentini.com, UrsulaLentini.com, or Google Ursula Lentini or put her name in Facebook, and that's where you're going to get most of your information. How many, now are you going live or are you just putting up pre-records?
Mostly pre-records, because the live is just, it's just so random that I just do pre-records
mm-hmm.
so I can have it on YouTube and Facebook. But
okay.
Actually, what I'm asking people to do lately is just keep it real simple. And if you want to connect with me, just message me on Facebook. Hey, saw your show.
Okay.
Hey, did your video. Hey, wanted to talk to you, and I'm offering free 20-minute session work where we just figure out what's going on with them, where do they want to go, and, you know, maybe how I can help them to get there. Just
okay.
keeping it
Fantastic.
Very simple.
Great. Well, that's our hour. Went by
okay.
as usual.
Yes, it did. I really appreciate you. I love the work that you're doing. I love your passion behind it. I love your why you do the things that you do. You're very, very beautiful, and I really, really see you and appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ursula. I could say all that back to you because we are here. Just this is what we do. This is why we're here on the planet. And when you're listening to this show, you've got this. This is the important part you have to understand, because that we're all attracting each other at this point in time so that we can hold the light and hold the space for each other. I would just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening to the show, whether you're listening live or to the pre-record. And if you are on social media, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Universal Energy Radio and on Instagram or Universal Energy Media. We're on several days during the week. We're also on iTunes. If you happen to go to iTunes and subscribe, give us some love in there. We'd appreciate that. And our shows are sponsored by MAP, at the MAP Coaching Institute. So do check them out as well. It's interesting work. But just keep in touch with us. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to ask@universalenergyradio.com, and I will definitely reply. But I appreciate it, Ursula. I appreciate you. Love you so much, and we will talk again soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.